Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Step into the ring where the stories get raw. Junkyard James spitting truth, no flaw. Beyond the junkyard, the tales collide. Wrestling's wild side, come and take the ride. Chairs fly, ropes snap, legends unfold. Every move, every slam, the drama is gold. From the underground brawls to the title fights, we break it all down under spotlight nights. Beyond the junkyard, where the stories get told. Steel cages, bright lights, the moment's so bold. From the past to the future, the mat stays strong. Junkyard James, keep it real. Strap up, it's about to get wild. Powerbomb the truth, no sugar, no mild. Every heel, every face, every match that burns. The junkyard delivers, now it's your turn. So hit play, no delay, the bell has rung. Beyond the junkyard, where the legends are sung. Junkyard James got the mic in his grip. Wrestling podcast vibes, now let's take the truth.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 133 of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. I am your host. It is the Saturday show. I'm Junkyard James. And we have a pretty heavy episode, not necessarily in quantity of topics, but in the seriousness of what I want to talk about in this episode, because let's go back to last weekend, SummerSlam weekend, for a moment, and we're going to talk about the ending of the show, and I want to take you on a ride through my emotions, social media's reaction, and then a week later, how do I still feel about it, right? But first, let's jump in. I got a couple things I need y'all to do. If you're watching the YouTube video, hit that like button, comment on the video, share your thoughts, subscribe, hit that notification bell. If you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or any of the other sites that this gets distributed to, make sure to leave us a 5-star reaction. A 5-star review, leave some comments if you're able to subscribe on those platforms and get notified when an episode drops. We're trying on YouTube to get to 100 subscribers. We're almost at 50. So let's try and get to 50 and then we can, you know, bull rush into 100. We're trying to build a community here. Go to junkyardmediagroup.com. Check out the website there. And if you want to join our Discord page, there are multiple different ways that you can join the Discord community, which is the real wrestling community. You can go on that website, junkyardmediagroup.com. You can hit the join the RWC link on the top section of the website, and it'll lead you to the Discord page. The link is also in the description of the YouTube video and the Spotify or Apple. It's in the show notes there. You can use that link and join as well. And so join that community. Let's build a wrestling community of people of all different you know, beliefs and cultures and likes and flavors of styles of wrestling. It's a really good community for people to just kind of share their feelings about pro wrestling, whether it's AEW, whether it's TNA, WWE, New Japan, or anything in between. Join the real wrestling community. We keep it real. We keep it raw. We keep it relevant. Let's get into the content. So the first piece of this, we're going to talk about what happened at SummerSlam and all of that. But then I want to end the show by talking about, as this episode was so promptly titled, The Tale of the Two Khans. One being Tony Khan, the other being Nick Khan. And I kind of want to use that first segment to push into this idea of, I think there's two different cultures in the locker rooms between AEW and WWE. And so I want to kind of to use the Tale of the Two Khans to ask a big question that I will ask at the end of this. So make sure you stay tuned to listen to the whole episode and respond promptly to that question. Let's jump in. The big segment, the one that everyone wants to talk about. Let's talk about it. This is the monologue. All right, so we go in Saturday night, right? CM Punk wins the belt, and Seth Rollins comes out and cashes in. And you were like, that's the shock of the weekend. Why was this on night one of the show? This was the shock of the weekend that should have ended SummerSlam, right? That was my initial reaction, was if this was the shock that Seth Rollins came in and did the cash in, why was this ending night one and not night two? Well, Triple H comes in Saturday after the show and says, if you liked what you saw in night one, you have no idea what to expect, or something bigger is coming in night two. And so the anticipation was like The Rock would interfere with John Cena, John Cena's match, or whatever it may have been. Well, Cody comes in to beat John Cena clean with no interference. Cena ultimately has turned heel. They haven't completely turned Cena has turned from heel to a face again. They haven't completely turned Cody into a heel yet. He's still that baby face that just wanted to get the title back. So Cody wins. Cody leaves. John Cena has his moment of, this is his last SummerSlam, so he was going to get the thank you Cena chant. And then Brock Lesnar comes back. And my initial reaction was, that's Brock Lesnar's music. I heard it and I said, that's Brock. Like, I screamed, that's Brock, that's Brock. And it wasn't an excitement necessarily. It was, what the fuck? Why is Brock Lesnar here? There was no rumors or innuendos that Brock Lesnar was ever going to be in the area for SummerSlam, right? That he wasn't even in New Jersey. Brock Lesnar was hidden. Last we heard of Brock Lesnar was 18 months prior. He was pulled out of the wrestling world, seemingly. They pulled him off of the show. He was supposed to fight Gunther at WrestleMania 2 years ago. He didn't have that match. They pulled him out of WWE's video game because of his he was mentioned in Janelle Grant's lawsuit by name. And so my initial reaction was, this is Brock Lesnar. Why did they bring him back? Why is he fighting John Cena? So as a fan of wrestling, my first reaction wasn't necessarily, this guy was mentioned in Janelle Grant's case. I was shocked and I was like, this doesn't make sense, mostly from a creative perspective, because there's no lead into this. My question was, so you turned Cena face for him to get destroyed by Brock Lesnar? So from a creative perspective, I like, this doesn't make sense. But social media jumped right on this. And they said, he's still mentioned in this case. When did he get cleared to return? How did this happen? And I didn't say anything for a few days. I tend to take this word of advice that I've heard. Take 48 hours before you say anything out of emotion. And so I wanted to wait a few days before I said something about the whole legal surrounding of Brock Lesnar, either on this podcast or on my social media or in general. I just wanted to get my emotions correct so that the statement that I wanted to make was said in a state of clarity and not a state of like anger or whatnot, right? Because there were some statements that were said obviously out of emotion. I'm looking at you, Raj Geary. You said something out of emotion about the people that were upset about Brock Lesnar that I think you may have woke up the next morning and regret it, saying something about these people make me want to join MAGA just because they don't like that Brock Lesnar's back. Like, that's fucking insane that you had to bring politics into this. This isn't a political thing. Because I think there are people across all political spectrums that were shocked and surprised that Brock Lesnar showed back up on WWE television. I don't like the majority of people may fall in line with one political apparatus, but I know for a fact that there are people across all the political spectrum that do not think Brock Lesnar should be back in WWE. I know that for a fact. And so I wanted to take a moment and listen and actually listen to these people's complaints, right? Because I think that's the thing with social media these days is people complain. And then if you're on the opposite side of the aisle, you never actually listen to the complaint. You just clap back before they can finish their complaint. And I think what it boiled down to me, my issue with this is that they did all of this in secret. They secretly pulled Brock Lesnar out of WWE. They secretly pulled him out of the video game. We come to realize now that Brock, yes, while he was off of TV, out of the WWE, he was never suspended. He was never fined. They paid him his entire salary for the entire 18 months that he sat there and did nothing working for the WWE. So there was, when this stuff comes out and WWE doesn't, you know, get in front of the narrative here, it makes it seem like they were publicly trying to say, we are with these people.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
We are with you. This is inappropriate. This is not right. But privately, they're saying this is retarded. This is dumb. So we'll give this public image to appease our sponsors. But behind the scenes, they're like, nothing. This is dumb. We'll wait a few months and we'll put Brock back on TV when this is simmered down. And they obviously felt like it had simmered down enough to bring him back. And the story now is, well, he was cleared a few weeks ago by WWE's legal team to be back on TV. And I don't give a crap if WWE's legal team cleared him. He is still mentioned in the lawsuit against Vince McMahon. I don't care if WWE's legal team, TKO's legal team, because, you know, both of them have spotless, perfect records. They haven't defended people like Conor McGregor and John Bones Jones before. They have such spotless records at being a legal team that they wouldn't hide stuff under the rug. They wouldn't try to make it seem as if everything was fine, but it wasn't. Nick Khan comes out and essentially holds the position of, as long as there's no criminal investigation being taken place, he doesn't give a crap who works for his company. As long as you're doing things legally, that's all he cares about. And that's just a wild statement to make. And I'll break that down in just a moment. But I think these people's reaction, like, once you listen to the reaction, I think we could have solved this issue if the WWE was just a little bit more public with how they were handling things behind the scenes. They love to go and break the fourth wall with a lot of things. That puff piece called WWE Unreal, they love to break the fourth wall when it makes them look good. Maybe they should break the fourth wall in regards to this legal situation. So let's jump into it. What I'm about to say is not an indication that Brock Lesnar is guilty of any crime, because we have to understand this is not a criminal suit. This is not a criminal case. This is a civil lawsuit against Vince McMahon, in which Brock Lesnar was named in the lawsuit by name 44 different times. So, yes, Brock Lesnar may not have done anything illegal. But the question that we have to answer, and the question that I think TKO and WWE failed to notify and educate its audience, is maybe it's not illegal, but do we care about ethics? Do we care about doing things ethically? And so we'll get into this. What Vince McMahon and Brock Lesnar allegedly did, those conversations, setting up sexual appointments between Brock Lesnar and Janelle Grant, regardless of the fact that they were executed or not, regardless of the fact if Brock Lesnar physically performed the sexual acts that were talked about or not, that were agreed upon, whether or not he did them or not, he is still complicit at the least, and guilty at the highest, of quid pro quo sexual harassment. And so let me bring some evidence to back up my claim of why I say this. Quid pro quo harassment occurs when a supervisor, Vince McMahon, seeks sexual favors from a worker, Janelle Grant, or, in this case, Brock Lesnar, right? So again, this quid pro quo was not against Vince to Janelle. This is Vince to Brock. So Brock could have filed a Title VII quid pro quo sexual harassment case against Vince, if you want to be real. So the quid pro quo was not between Brock and Janelle, or Vince and Janelle. It was between Vince and Brock. So in return for some form of job benefit, a raise, better hours, a promotion, a new contract, or to avoid some kind of punishment, pay cut, demotion, poor performance review, etc. Claims that sexual harassment is one of two types of workplace claims that fall under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the other being creating a hostile work environment. So what does Title VII of the Civil Rights Act specify? So possible claims. Disparate treatment, that's hostile work environment. That's an obvious form of discrimination where an employer treats an employee differently because of race, color, religion, national origin, or sexual orientation. There's disparate impact, which is essentially like they use the example in here that like if you have to have physical fitness requirements or a minimum height requirement, those requirements may have some form of disparate impact on a certain class of people and could be could force a company to prove why it is necessary for those things and that no alternative policy would work. Meaning you have to allow for accommodation in certain things unless it's something like the military where you or being a cop or something where passing these physical strength tests are necessary. If you can't prove that they're necessary, you are then forced to provide accommodations. This is the one I want to talk about. Quid pro quo sexual harassment, right? Employer should have a policy in place for sexual harassment, blah, blah, blah. Negligence, retaliation are the other ones. Here's why I think Brock couldn't file a Title VII claim to the EEOC is because this statement right here. Therefore, assuming they work or are applying to work for a covered employer as outlined above, Title VII provides discrimination protection for all employees, former employees, and those applying to be employees. However, there are significant exceptions. For example, the rule typically does not cover independent contractors. So this is why I think Brock can't file this against Vince, because as far as I'm aware, WWE wrestlers are still considered independent contractors. But regardless of the quid pro quo, because again, like I said, this is against Janelle and Vince for sexual trafficking, sexual misconduct. But regardless of the fact that this quid pro quo happened, right? Whether or not he could legally file it, Brock Lesnar had knowledge that Janelle Grant was being utilized in that way because he agreed to these sexual advances. And so whether or not he's guilty of any crime or not, we should not set the bar to just do things that are legal. We should set the bar a little bit higher. So let's be ethical. Let's have a workplace full of ethical work practices. Let's set a culture that is inclusive of all people so that at the end of the day, we don't even have to worry about if we're breaking the law or not. We know that if our processes are ethical, they will also be legal. If our processes are ethical, we won't have to worry about any possible criminal liability. For example, the company that I work for on my day job, they will not allow people of the same immediate family to work in the same office or to work in other offices where you may have to work or your work may run into the work of your family member. For example, if I worked where I currently work in my current position, none of my family members could work in the office that I work in. They couldn't work in payroll. They couldn't work in HR. They couldn't work in any other facet of the business that directly impacts me. Why? Because they're going to prevent any possible fraud, any possible unethical behavior. If they catch you stealing time, meaning like you go to lunch, but you don't clock out, until you get back home or you get back to the office and then you clock out, which I know people do at other places. If they catch you stealing time, well, that's not technically illegal. You can't be criminally charged for that. That is an unethical practice, and my job that I work for, the place that I work for, will fire you for that. We should strive to be ethical, because if we are ethical, we will also be legal. But just being legal doesn't automatically mean you are being ethical. And so this is where it happens. I don't know what Brock Lesnar agreed to or did or didn't. I have what Janelle Grant's team has provided. And WWE hasn't provided anything to discredit Janelle Grant's position. That is what I'm asking for. If Brock Lesnar is cleared, provide how you can clear him. Provide the proof that he is cleared. Make that proof public. Publicly explain why we shouldn't be pissed off that somebody that's in an ongoing legal procedure is now making has always made multi-million dollars while fighting this case. Well, while having to do whatever he has to do to prove.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Himself not complicit. Because let's just be honest. Had it not been for a couple occurrences, a snowstorm and whatnot, Brock Lesnar would have had would have completed his part of the agreement of the sexual acts with Janelle Grant. Because remember, you may not have physically been in the bank when the bank got robbed. But if you're the getaway driver, you're still complicit. And you can still be prosecuted in some way, shape, or form. And while this is a civil case, Brock Lesnar, I think, can still be held. At least in the opinion of public perception. As complicit in this sex trafficking ring that WWE and Vince McMahon specifically is accused of. That's all we're asking for. This could have cleared it up, in my opinion. Those that are on the fence about it, I think if you would have just provided the evidence, provided a little bit of insight on what's being done, who's in charge of investigating the claims, who's in charge of clearing Brock Lesnar, if you just would have given us a little bit of insight, if you weren't so hyper-focused at creating viral moments, and trust me, it was a viral moment. Trust me, this is a moneymaker, because Brock Lesnar is now the top merch seller on WWE's shop. Brock Lesnar got 75 million impressions in the first weekend of the show. So yes, it was a magnificent business success from a virality standpoint, from a monetary standpoint, but at some point in time, a business has to say, we need to ensure that our employees and our consumers are aware of our practices. That an employee doesn't have to feel as if somebody was at this level, that nothing would happen to them. Because let's be honest for a moment here. If it wasn't Brock Lesnar, if it was Austin Theory. If it was any of the NXT talent that was mentioned instead of Brock Lesnar, they would have been fired. But it was Brock Lesnar, so we'll pull you off. We'll pay you $20 million. We'll bring you back at some point in time. We'll make sure it's good because Brock Lesnar makes them money. All they care about is money. We talked about this on Thursday. All they care about is what makes them money. And sometimes a business needs to make sure that needs to ensure that their people who work there and the consumers feel like they can support the company. When I interviewed for my day job that I have now, the first question I asked wasn't how much money could I make, wasn't what are the hours, it wasn't do I get weekends off, what are my benefits, it wasn't that. My first question that I asked, because I'm big on company culture, my question was, as an outsider coming into the company, what would somebody who worked here say the culture was in this building? We took a tour of the building and I could see the people that were working felt comfortable in their roles, felt comfortable going to their supervisors about anything. I saw the open door policies that they implemented. And so I felt like that was a place that I could work for and not feel as if I'm just another number. I don't know if the culture in WWE is that way. But I can't say that it is. From everything that I see, it feels as if a lot of employees in WWE have to walk on eggshells. And again, I can't prove that. I've never been inside their corporate office or anything, but they have to walk on eggshells to make sure that they don't step on the wrong area. Why was Brock Lesnar brought back? From an HR or legal perspective, I would never advise to have somebody who is named by name in an active civil case to be on TV or to be the head of your show or to be the head of your company or to have a spot in your company, right? Like if it was me instead of Brock Lesnar, I would have been fired from any company that I worked for. Like sexual harassment cases, sex trafficking cases should be the most important thing. It should be more important than money to make sure that we handle it the correct way. But it seems like it wasn't. It seems like they tried to hide it under the rug for as long as they can. That's what the perspective is, because we don't have WWE side. They're quiet about it. And that's what we're asking for. Why should we feel like it's okay for Brock Lesnar to be on TV? And don't give me that bullshit that legal cleared him. Because I don't care if it was Hunter Hearst Helmsley. I don't care if it was Nick Khan. I don't care if it who was ever in charge of HR. I don't care if it was Donald Trump. I don't care if it was Martin Luther King Jr. I don't care if it was the Catholic Pope. I don't care who cleared him. Wow, he's still in this investigation, he should not be working for WWE. He should not be paid by the WWE. He should not have a job in the WWE until the case is closed and the truth is out there. From an HR perspective, that's how they handle these cases. He should at least be suspended without pay until they conclude the investigation, until they conclude the legal scenario. And then once it's settled, do whatever. You know what I mean? Like, if they can, if they can clear Brock in the perception of public opinion, then all right, bring him back. But the way that it appears right now, it appears that Brock Lesnar hasn't been cleared in the name of public opinion. And perception is reality. If I'm, if I perceive that Brock is still part of this legal case, which he is, my perception is he's not cleared and he shouldn't be on TV regardless of what WWE's legal case is. But outside of the legal narrative, right? Outside of the HR perspective, creatively, what purpose does Brock fucking Lesnar have in WWE right now? What purpose does he have mixing it up with John Cena? Oh, I didn't watch. I fell asleep early last night. I was tired. I had a tough week at work, right? I didn't watch SmackDown, but I woke up first thing this morning, and because I follow a lot of wrestling accounts, John Cena pops up on my screen first thing. Brock Lesnar doesn't even show up to with John Cena. Who shows up? Fucking Logan Paul. So they're not even continuing the story. Again, the Brock Lesnar push was simply to create a viral moment. There's no creative reason to have him there. Why bring him back? Creatively, it makes no fucking sense. And here's why. And I'll present it this way. Do you know what the average age, the median age of a WWE watcher is? Because I learned this morning, and it made perfect sense now why they're bringing Brock back. The average age of someone that watches WWE is 52 years old. For an average age of SmackDown viewers. The average age of an NXT viewer is higher than 52. Per Dave Meltzer. That means 50% or more of the audience was over the age of 52 for SmackDown and Raw this past year. 52. Why are they bringing back Goldberg? Why are they bringing back Brock Lesnar? Why are they bringing back The Rock? Why are they bringing back John Cena? Why are they bringing back all these people from 20 years ago? Because they were popular then with the people that are watching still to today. With the people that were 52 this year were 32 during the Attitude Era. We're 32 during the Ruthless Aggression Era. That's why they were the biggest market then, and it's the biggest market now. That's why they're bringing Brock Lesnar back. Because the key audience loves the man and would probably not give a fuck. Like, Brock Lesnar could probably push them out in public and they still wouldn't give a fuck. As long as they're sports entertained, right? Creatively, it doesn't make sense. You have such a good talent. You want me to believe. This is what gets me. These people want me to believe that NXT and the Performance Center is producing such good talent and they're not being utilized because the old guys have to have their spot. Because The Rock needs a spot and John Cena needs a spot and Cody Rhodes, which, by the way, is 40. They passed the torch to a 40-year-old man with maybe 5 to 10, maybe 15 years at most. Left in the business. They could have passed that torch to Trick. They could have passed that torch to Carmelo, to Austin Theory, to such a other. There's a number of people that they could have passed that torch to be the next big thing in WWE, and they passed it to Cody Rhodes. Ricky Starks is in his mid-30s. Ethan Page is in his mid-30s, and they're the next big things on NXT. You want me to believe that the Performance Center makes superstars? You want me to believe that NXT makes superstars of this next young generation? And I don't see it. In the women's division, Nikki Bella has to come back. Why? Because the audience that is watching wants to see the nostalgia of the past, because the stuff of the present they don't like. Because as awesome as Sol Ruka is in the ring, she's not going to make the money that Nikki Bella is going to make. As cool as Sol Ruka's Soul Snatcher move is, Nikki Bella's song comes up and people know her. People know her. The main audience knows her. This is family-friendly entertainment, right? No, the median household viewer of WWE content is over 50 years old. Over 50. That is wild. They've lost the young market. And so that's where I want to transition into the final talking point of the day. The Tale of Two Cons. We'll be right back. But this was the monologue. All right, so shout out. Before we jump into close here, to all of our partners, W Energy, go to W.GG, use code Beyond the Yard to get 10% off. All the other links are in the description for RSS.com, StubHub, and WWE Shop. All right, so let's talk about Tony Khan and Nick Khan for a minute, and how I think we're going to bring in culture here for a minute and talk about the workplace culture, because there were two stories that kind of populated, one about Nick Khan and one about Tony Khan here the last couple of days, that I think shows a difference in how they approach business and why I think one is better than the other. Let's talk about Tony Khan first and how he runs his business. Jim Ross announced, I think, on his podcast that his contract with AEW ends this month, and that he hopes that he can be renewed with AEW because he loves working with AEW, that Tony Khan has always been kind to him, has always allowed him to work this part-time schedule, has always worked with him in a cordial way, and he appreciates that with Tony Khan. I mean, think of Jim Ross for a minute. Who did he work for a lot before with the Vince McMahon regime? I'm sure it was a nice, swift breath of air going to a place where your boss doesn't verbally, you know, piss on you on a weekly basis on screen. Doesn't have people make fun of you for your medical conditions on a weekly basis. And that's just the on-screen stuff. I wonder what happened off-screen. You know what I mean? Like, and so Tony Khan, like, this isn't the first time, like, Maven went to an AEW show and talked to Tony Khan and said, it seems like the locker room is much different than when he was in wrestling. That the culture is better. There are reports that AEW's locker room is the best that it's ever been. And it's because of everything the people that hate on Tony Khan say are negatives, or why it's actually a positive, and why people want to show up to work for AEW. Why people are I think, more ultimately passionate to work for AEW in most cases, because he cares about them on a personal level. He doesn't view them as a number. He doesn't view them as just a cog in the machine, a pawn to the chessboard. He cares about them on a personal level. He wants to be boss, but he also wants to be friend. And note to everyone, you can have both. You can have a boss that is also your friend. You can have a supervisor that you can hang out with, that you can see hanging out with on the weekend. That is allowed. Your boss doesn't just have to be your boss. Like, you should probably treat people better than just a cog in the machine. And so it seems as if Tony Khan has implemented company culture to where people actually enjoy showing up to work every day. On the other hand, you have Nick Khan, which doubled down apparently on his idea that he hates people who put their out of office on and don't pick up the phone at 3 a.m. when he calls. Motherfucker, if you call me off the clock, if you call me at 3 a.m., you're getting my voicemail. I don't give a fuck what you need at 3 o'clock. It's not important if it's not during work hours. I don't work for you 24/7. I work from you between a set period of time on a daily basis. And if you want me to work 24/7, you better pay me like I work 24/7. But to say the people that use their out of office when they're on vacation or that don't pick up at 3 o'clock, that they're not good workers or whatever the fuck he wanted to say, that's wild. Again, you're just a cog in the machine. You're replaceable. You don't pick up the phone when Nick Khan calls you because you can't sleep at night. You might get fired. Nah. No, I don't do that. I don't work at 3 a.m. I'm not on the clock at 3 a.m. Don't call me at 3 a.m. Like, I work at my job right now. I work Monday through Friday, 7:30 to 4:30. If one of my technicians or whatever try to call me at 4:31, I'm not picking up the phone if I've already clocked out. If they call me on the weekend, it goes to voicemail and I'll call them back on Monday. We need to realize that work-life balance matters. Tony Khan understands that. That's why he's built a roster so large, and in some cases too large, so that people who want to take time off to spend time with their families are allowed to. That's why sometimes you don't see people on screen for several months because they take time off and now they have to find a way to creatively write them back into the story. And I'm not going to sit here and say Tony Khan has done everything perfectly. I think he could have handled some other situations properly. I think the Britt Baker, Big Swole stuff that happened early in AEW's history, I think we can look at it with foreknowledge now and say he probably chose the wrong side and he pissed off Big Swole for no reason. I think Tony Khan has made his fair share of mistakes. I think he handled the CM Punk situation poorly. But in this current moment, Tony Khan has a better culture than Nick Khan has. And it's not because Nick Khan is a bad boss, but it's because he's a micromanager. He expects everything to be done his way. You have to work around my schedule. Tony Khan allows wrestlers to say, as long as the end game gets us to where we need to go, I trust you enough. You have the freedom to do whatever needs to be done within these parameters. Nick Khan, it has to go his way. You better pick up that phone at 3 a.m. if Nick Khan calls. I bet you Tony Khan's fast asleep at 3 a.m. or on Twitter posting about his the next AEW show. But he ain't calling you at 3 a.m. unless it's an urgent matter. Man, if I got a phone call from somebody at 3 a.m. and it was about something that could have waited till Monday or could have waited till the next morning when I'm in the office, I'm cussing you out. That's just how it is. I'm not on the clock 24/7. And if I am, you better pay me like I am. But I don't know, y'all. What do you think? Leave a comment below. Like this video. Leave a 5-star review if you're listening to the audio. Share this. Subscribe. Hit that notification bell. We'll see you next Thursday with a more action-centered and less backstage politics-centered show next week. We're heading towards Forbidden Door. I'm happy for that. Yeah, we'll see y'all next Thursday on the live stream. It's been another episode of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. I am your host, Junkyard James. Thank you to all of our partners. All the links are in the description. We'll see you next Thursday. Let's continue to rock the boat, stir the pot. The sauce is spicy over on this side. Beyond the Junkyard podcast. We'll see y'all next week. Beyond.